J.R. Haviland is a writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He was previously a stand-up comic, including a stint doing crowd warm-up for Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, which led him to writing jokes for that show's monologue. He was also a writer for the New York Times best-selling books America the Book and Earth the Book, as well as writing for the 2006 and 2008 Academy Awards telecasts. He is going to be moderating a panel at the Woodstock Writers Festival on Saturday, April 20th, entitled A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Woodstock. It is where four of the best writers for late night will come to Woodstock to share what they know. The panelists include the legendary Bill Sheft, who writes for David Letterman, Jess Dweck, who writes for Jimmy Fallon, Meredith Scardino, who writes for the Colbert Report, and again, moderated by J.R. Haviland. And it's a great pleasure to welcome J.R. Haviland to the roundtable.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, Joe. Thanks.
It is. It's really an honor to speak to you. You have, I didn't even get into all of the 8 Emmy Awards you and the crew have won for writing for this show, and I think, has everyone on the panel won an Emmy?
I don't know.
It's because it's pretty close. I know Letterman's won.
If they haven't, I'll give them one.
Excellent. Yeah, you got a couple extra.
Have one.
Not bad.
I just, oh God, what a terrible thing.
Not bad at all.
No, I know for a fact that Meredith has won a couple because I was there when I had to remain in my seat, all angry. despite having the ones that we have, it just never, that whole honor to be nominated, it's overrated.
What is it like to be a part of that? I mean, not your team per se, but as part of the larger family of late night comedy writers, because I assume still there is some camaraderie between you all.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about you know, what I'm doing at the festival is a live taping of my podcast, Writer's Block. What I do on the podcast is I speak to other comedy writers about the process and about their shows and about how they go about what they do personally in and out of the jobs that they have. And one of the reasons I started it was because I've been here so long, like you said in the beginning, that I don't really personally know a lot of these people. And I don't know how these shows go about their business. So it was sort of a learning experience for myself as well. Bill, I've met a couple of times, but never really sat down with for that long. Jess, I've never met. Meredith, I know and have worked with on a couple of things, but I haven't seen her for a few years. So it's always fun to sit down and learn stuff from these people and learn stuff about them. I mean, I've sat down recently with people I've known for years and years and years, but after getting done talking to them for an hour, realized, wow, we've never really talked for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Right.
So it's really fun that way.
Is there a commonality in the shows? I mean, certainly The Daily Show is different, and all the shows are different in their own way. But you are writing for another person, and you are writing to be funny at night. And is there a commonality in that?
Well, sure, just in how you stated it. But we're talking about different people. We're talking about different times of night, different staffs that you're working with,
right,
different material that you're working with. That's one of the things that I'll address. It's one of the reasons I tried to put together this particular panel, and I'm glad they're all coming. I can't thank them enough. Letterman and Fallon are obviously somewhat similar shows in that they're sort of late-night entertainment, monologue, sketch, guest-driven things, whereas The Colbert Report and The Daily Show are more similar than the other two to each other, at least, in that we delve more into relatively serious topics in a comedic way, of course. But so one of the things that I want to find out from them, and what we'll find out, is how differently each of these shows goes about putting together their final product, and how those particular writers approach that task.
And what you have done through most of your career, both with The Daily Show and even before that with Bill Maher, is to tackle very topical stuff. So that is, that I would assume, is one of your particular fortes.
Yeah, I would hope so at this point. I mean, I coast every once in a while, but please. I mean,
yeah.
It's a long time to pretend.
But it's different than typical joke writing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when I started with Bill Maher way back when, I was really writing monologue jokes with him,
right.
which are basically, you know, back then you just look in USA Today or, you know, whatever, and just find a bunch of random topics from around the country and write a joke about them. You know, the punchline was often more important than the setup. In other words, if it's funny, who cares what it's about necessarily? Obviously, you want it to be about something that people, that's in the news, you know, that's why Jay Leno says, have you heard about this? You know, have you heard about this? You know, he keeps saying that, even though he pretty much knows you've heard about it. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't be talking about it. He just keeps saying that. So those writing monologue jokes is going to be, is a far different style than what Meredith and I are accustomed to. But I think for Bill and Jess, they probably don't really deal with monologue jokes that much. People on those shows do monologue, but they also have a separate department for it. So like on Letterman and on Fallon, I believe Fallon, I'm not totally sure about that, we'll find out on the 20th, they have a sketch department and a monologue department.
Right.
So there'll be different people working on that.
And when it comes to your particular part of The Daily Show, is it a little bit of everything, or are you assigned one particular part that you tend to work on?
No, it's a little bit of everything. We always just mix it up. We have our meetings in the morning, and we sort of are assigned or volunteer for whatever particular story suits our fancy or whatever is left over when other people have jumped on the better ones. Yeah,
and
when
how,
they beat you to the punch.
How do you know what is available to you tape-wise of what is out there and what is possible? That is such an essential part of the show. Do you often know that you have that as the baseline to work off of?
Well, fortunately, with technology like it is today, what with the kids and everything, we no longer have to concern ourselves about that. The system we use is called SnapStream. And it's sort of an amazing technology that allows us to basically pull up any clip that we want, whether we know it exists or not, by typing in a phrase. When you hit return, it gives you sort of a list of where that phrase popped up on any given show, you know, or a person's name or whatever. Sometimes that list is very long, but the more specific you are, the shorter the list, obviously. That's how we put together montages of people kind of saying the same thing.
Right.
Once we type it in, we get all those different examples, and we find the ones that work, and we put them in. We are at a point now where the material, the clay, no longer drives, at least here at The Daily Show, that no longer drives what we do. Our kind of imaginations and our desires to present a story, however it is that we want to do that, to frame it, however we want to frame it, is what drives what we then go. Then we go find the clay to fill in the cracks. You know.
You know, I've talked to Bill in the past, and I know he says this about David Letterman, and I assume that Jess would say this about Jimmy and Meredith, about Stephen Colbert. But that the great thing you have is that when you take that clay, as it were, and you have molded into what you want it to be.
I see what you're driving at. I think, yeah, it slows down a lot when it gets to John. It's kind of a roadblock. I see what you're driving at. And you wouldn't expect me to say something like that, but it's out in the open. Everybody knows it. It's obvious to look at the show that we're being dragged down to an extent. And, you know, you deal with it on a daily basis. So one of these days, it'll get better.
And your creativity will be able to flourish, much
like we will
see in evidence with all of you, I assume, on the 20th. But you're handing the material off to real great talents.
Yeah, which makes it nice. I mean, certainly. I don't know over there, but we're also handing material off to a person who then alters that material himself frequently, on differing levels, in order to suit him that much better and to be able to. Express his, you know, his vision for this particular story that we're covering, and then he just goes out and nails it all the time. So that is certainly something that I think about every time when taping begins and I'm heading home. That this guy who's been working there all day by my side still has to go out there and, you know, and I'm tired. He's got to turn it up, you know.
Okay, I'm fascinated. You go home? You don't actually stay for the taping?
We do sometimes, but it's not it's not part of our, we don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, we're done with the day. Like, they've been down at rehearsal right now, and they, you know, rehearsal is at a certain time. We have our assignments in the afternoon to start getting ready for the next day. But the thing about our show is that the stuff that we're working on today, it's gonna change overnight, or there's gonna be more material overnight. So we don't have to hand in like final scripts at the end of this evening. We just need to get it in a pile that is manageable for us to then attack it tomorrow morning and complete the scripts that we need to complete by a certain time, so that we can rewrite them and get them ready for rehearsal again. It's a system, you know, that we've been tweaking for many, many years, and works for us. And that's, you know, it's nice because we have normal hours, and I go home and I have dinner with my family.
Mm. What is your deadline? I mean, in the fact of if a breaking news story happens, if something huge happens at, you know, say the taping is at 6 o'clock or 6:30, and something happens at 4:35, is that still going to make it for that show?
No, probably not, unless it's something that has to do with a story that we're already doing.
Yeah.
In which case, we also may just put it off until the next day and just add to the story, or, you know, and it also depends on the level of what it is and how it fits in there. We don't have any particular urgency to get something on that night because we're not, despite what people seem to want to believe every once in a while, the news. you know, so you may get your news from The Daily Show, but you're often getting it 2 or 3 days late.
Well, Jon Stewart often makes this point that it's a fake news show and that, you know, it is certainly not meant to be taken seriously. However, it is a, what you have done is quite incredible and quite genius and is...
Keep going.
And I would say important. Okay. Certainly in our culture and in our day-to-day debate. But so when you look at what you do and what you have done over the past 16 years on that show, is there a level of pride of what you've accomplished?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely have always had a feeling of being involved in something that is has always been a little bigger than I kind of thought it was or think it is. Because I'm so involved in it. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, ask any of the writers who are here, we sort of often forget that we're doing a TV show. You know, like we get this feeling like we're just putting on an off-Broadway show every night, and we get a decent attendance. People seem to enjoy it. But then it's like, oh, right, yeah, it's also on TV, and a lot of people watch it. So, you know, we sometimes, you know, we're too busy to really, you know, think about that too deeply or to pat ourselves on the back. We have stuff to do. So we do that. We wouldn't deny that that the show has had a positive impact. And as far as the news is concerned, I'm not saying that people don't learn a little bit or get some news, but I think it's more just people become informed in a certain way by watching the show.
You host the Writer's Block podcast, which will be taping at the Woodstock Writers Festival on Saturday, April 20th. A funny thing happened on the way to Woodstock. It happens from 2 to 3:30 at the Kleinert James Center for the Arts, again, part of the Woodstock Writers Festival. And you can find out more by going to woodstockwritersfestival.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
WoodstockWritersFestival.com. J.R. Haviland will be moderating the panel with Bill Sheft, Jess Dweck, and Meredith Scardino. J.R. Haviland, thank you very much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you in Woodstock. Have a great time.
Hey, Joe, can I throw in the idea that it is also available on a webcast if you can't make it to,
sure,
to Woodstock? Because I know that you're not necessarily, your listening group is not necessarily entirely next to the festival.
Right.
So they do a great job of webcasting all of these things, which are available through the WoodstockWritersFestival.com website, and I think if you get that, you can view it within 30 days. So it's a pretty convenient thing for people who can't quite make it out to the festival. There's a lot of interesting stuff happening there. Aside from our thing, it's 4 days of a lot of great stuff, and so people can check it out and take a look at whatever they want from the comfort of their own home.
Again, it is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Woodstock, 2 to 3:30 at the Kleinert James Center for the Arts, Saturday the 20th of April, woodstockwritersfestival.com. J.R. Havlin, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
woodstockwritersfestival.com for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.